Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Welcome to episode 165 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a mini episode. Mini episodes are where we drink one beer and talk about a single, mostly beer-related topics. There's a fringe episode out there floating around you might have to track down or not. Today, we are having a mini episode talking about beer. If you like the show, be sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. Also, tell a friend by posting about the show on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. If you do that, tag us at Brew Drink Run. Keith, what is the beer you have for us today?
We are going to be sampling some Rogue Marion Berry Braggot. This is, I believe, a relatively new offering from them. I have never seen it before. Looks like they're doing some honey-related beers with honey, created by their own bees. Just real quick, I'll read you what it says on the bottle because it pretty much sums it up. Situated just across from 42 acres of Rogue Farm hops, 7,140,289 honeybees pollinate our 2 acres of prickless Marion berries. And the honey is uncapped, extracted, filtered, and finally infused into Marion Berry Braggot. There's also a long list of all the malts and hops and other things that they use. The Marion berries and Marion berry juice is also added to this as adjuncts to everything else that they put in here, including the honey. So there you have it. That's what we're working with here. Thanks to Rogue for sending this out to us. It actually included a proper glassware bottle with piece of glassware. It looks really nice. So I'm going to be enjoying mine out of that.
Awesome. So we will start with we'll talk a little bit about this particular braggot as we have, and then we'll talk a little bit about braggots in general, yeah. I guess. So we'll start with the bottle. Raymond, give us a rundown of what people can expect to enjoy from the vessel this braggot arrives in.
Well, this is another Rogue beer that comes in a painted bottle. Mm-hmm. They have several of those out there, I guess. The most notorious, isn't that the donut?
Yeah, donut series, I believe, always comes in like a bright pink, pink painted bottle. But several of them do. I know they're double chocolate stout. I can't remember exactly that might be the name of it. But there's several in their line that have this sort of painted ceramic look bottle.
Yeah, so. White bottles, red bottles, purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's very purple, kind of a muted, desaturated purple, but it is all purple. Even the writing is a very, very light purple to it. So it's
Mauve, or is mauve more red?
Mauve, I think, has more saturation to it. It's that royal purple is much closer to it. But pictures of the Marion berries, I guess, which kind of look like raspberries. Or blackberries or something along those lines.
Yeah, Marion Berry is sort of a hybrid cross local to Oregon of two different species of blackberry. So, did a little bit of a touch of research on that.
Yeah, inverted monochrome on the label, so you can't really tell, but they look like a blackberry for sure.
Yeah. That's a striking bottle.
A lot of text.
Yeah, I mean, Rogue does that. I mean, they definitely give you plenty of information. They'll tell you they got serving suggestions. You've got cheese and fire. The fire, I assume, is smoked meats and other smoked things. I'm not sure. I guess it could be spicy things as well, but I would think a chili pepper would more indicate that. Mm. So they'll give you a little food pairings that you know all of them. I mean, Play-Doh, they'll tell you. Pretty much tell you exactly how to make the beer, So that's nice of them. And this still has
11.42%.
So big, biggin.
Very specific.
Yes, very, very big beer.
And it has been poured into glasses for us already. Keith mentioned that he has hashtag proper glassware over on his side of the table. Raymond, what does it look like in the glass?
Well, when it first poured, I wanted to say that it looked very much like a Cabernet with a head to it. Now that it's kind of been sitting in the glass, it's got a kind of a brownish quality to it that I didn't realize was there earlier. Maybe it's just what the table or the walls that we have here, but it's got that kind of red wine, purpley look to it, but with that hint of brown to it. But it did pour with a head, which you wouldn't get with a wine, about a quarter inch kind of khaki brown head that has faded to lacing at this point, but it's been sitting for a few minutes.
The aroma is really nice, very sweet.
Yeah, I like the aroma. You'd probably have to search my spreadsheet, but I don't think I've had a whole lot of braggots, and I don't remember having a ton of great experiences with them, but I don't remember having really terrible ones either. But it's not really a style I gravitate to, and I'm thinking that the addition of the fruit in this case is really helping that out, because a lot of times they just, you know, tend to come out kind of be sweet, boozy, big beers, and seems like it should be right up my alley, but there's always something kind of a little bit off as far as I remember with, you know, the few braggots I've had. But I do like this. It's got a nice kind of tart, sweet berry. I mean, you definitely get the fruit, the honey's there, and alcohol, just, you know, that 11.4% is definitely sitting in the background on the aroma.
For me, the closest aroma touchstone is a little bit of like of a grape candy, like a grape gum or something like that. Yeah. I mean, not as
like that Jolly Ranchery kind of thing,
but in that vein for sure. So the aroma definitely has me excited to taste it, which I encourage you guys to go ahead and do. You've had two braggots in your spreadsheet, Keith. You've had Weyerbacher 16,
okay,
and the other one is
Samuel Adams
Cigar City Ghost Stories.
Okay, well, I've definitely had something, I think, from Samuel Adams. Maybe
they had a mix pack or something.
I remember there being one, and it might have been before I was writing stuff down, or I might have forgotten. So what was the Cigar City one called?
Ghost Stories.
Ghost Stories.
Collaboration with Bee Nectar.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. All right. So flavor on this, I think everybody's had a chance to give it a try.
It's got that tart berry, little berry to it. I get that in there. It's really dry.
Yeah, I feel like the in this case the kind of the fruit is sort of overtaking maybe the honey that you expect out of a braggot. Braggot is you.
Well, do we even start talking about what a braggot?
Yeah, let's talk about the definition of a braggot.
I don't even know that I have ever had a braggot in my.
Well, we'll go to
I am one.
We'll go to BrewWiki.
Okay.
We'll get the definition from BrewWiki, and we can add to it. Their braggot page. If you haven't been to BrewWiki, it's a Wikipedia clone. They use the open source Wikipedia software, but then just add brewing stuff to it. So it's kind of like a hyper specific wiki. So braggot is a form of mead made with both honey and barley malts. It typically uses 1/3 or more malt and may have as much as 50% malt. For tasting notes on this, most people, as you look through reviews and personal descriptions, kind of call it a hybrid between a mead and a beer. Somewhere in between the two. You get characteristics of both because you have ingredients of both. And traditionally, this has no hops. I mean, that's another part of the braggot. I don't know if that's a current standard to it or not, but as a traditional, the olden times back in medieval Europe, they were making this without hops.
Yep.
So long history on this style of beer.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll call it a beer. Why not?
Yeah.
For the purposes of the show.
Well, no, I mean, it is. I mean, these are definitely marketed as beers at this point. I think from that description, you know, it kind of seems that anything with a considerable amount of honey is technically a braggot. You know, from the way the description is sort of, you know, displayed, because you're going to have at least that much, if you're making a beer, that much grain, barley, that kind of thing. And then, but you're using an exceptionally large amount of honey as part of that. And, you know, it's not going to attenuate down, as long as you're not, you leave the honey sweetness behind when you don't, you know, use all of that sugar to get alcohol. Of course, a lot of them end up, I think, pretty high in alcohol simply because you're talking about adding a lot of sugar for the yeast to eat. So
the judging range is 6.5% to 14%.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty wide range right there. So
absolutely. And that typical kind of breakdown, again, we're looking for approximately 1/3 traditional malts and 2/3 honey. to make up your grain bill, or I guess we wouldn't call it grain if it's that much sugar, but or honey. But yeah, that what we're going to use to make our alcohol or have the food for the yeast there to do that. And if you are using ingredients other than honey and malt, technically for the BJCP, should be entered in the open mead category.
Really?
So there you go. So I don't know.
So I guess the fruit in this might technically make it not a braggot, but
right.
But I think the term is being used as a beer style that isn't everywhere and isn't super common. I think that anything that's sort of a hybrid of, like they were saying, a lot of honey mead character, beer character is kind of just become the catch-all for that.
Interestingly enough, this page does list the Rogue Farms Marionberry Braggot as an example of style.
Well, there you go.
It does also mention the Brother Adams Braggot Barley Wine Ale, but that's not Sam Adams. So I saw that at first. I was like, oh, is that it? And then I was like, no, that's not it. A Magic Hat apparently made a Braggot at one point. Rabbit's Foot, White Winter. So there are examples, mostly seeming regional out there, at least for this to look for in your area.
It seems like a tough style to really market on in a large scale. You could easily see like a brewery such as like Dogfish Head doing this in like has a touch of that sort of ancient ale series, but you know, they would put in so many other things that it would really make it different, you know?
Yeah.
This is the first one I can remember with fruit. Obviously I've only had a couple, so I don't really remember fruits being involved. So I do like the touch of it. I'm not a huge fan of mead. I like them fine, but I don't purchase them. I don't drink them at home. I do find them to be a little bit generally too sweet. I know there's some that are a little bit drier, so it's not something that I really gravitate to. I've certainly tried them at beer festivals, and I've been like, oh, this is nice, but it just still isn't really what I'm looking for. So I do kind of like how this... and then I feel like some of that having too much like residual honey is maybe what is the drawback for me in braggots that haven't had the fruit to kind of cut it. But I like what this is doing with all that kind of honey and alcohol.
Well, I think what you're getting to is a problem I have a lot of meads in that I don't find them to be very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And the braggot style being that it's kind of this hybrid opens itself up for more complexity with the use of the different grains going in alongside the honey. Right, Raymond?
Yes, that's absolutely
you
right.
Towards your microphone. And nothing happens. A couple of the pages that have this background information on Braggot, as I'm kind of surfing around and looking, a lot of them mention the Canterbury Tales, which was late 1300s, and there are references in that to braggots, and then there are published references going back even further to the 12th century in Ireland. So definitely something that's been around, blending spices and herbs with meads and beer kind of is that idea of, if you think about kind of a weird mixture.
Well, I would imagine that like more things like meads were done in, the further back in time you go, it'd be more common, and then as the knowledge and that slowly gained about what's become the modern brewing process. So you start cutting some of those things down. Eventually, I'm sure brewers just got rid of the honey because they realized that they could use just the grain and get a different tasting beer. And so this would be a kind of style you could see, with the craft beer boom over the past, 5-10 years, that you're going to see, I want to try something different that there aren't a lot of examples of. So I can see why the Braggot is starting to pop up here and there and in bottles and on shelves and on draft boards.
Definitely. So let's get back to this specific beer, because I feel like what's going on here, we haven't really talked about a lot about the taste of this specific one. Mm-hmm. And for me, I do get some of that kind of grape candy piece. Again, what I'm associating with, but it's the berry. Mm-hmm. It's the juice of the berry. I'm probably associating with that because I don't drink like a lot of blackberry juice.
Right. Yeah.
It's not something I have an easy go-to for, but it's a sweet, dark fruit.
Yeah.
That you're getting in it, but it doesn't taste the artificial saccharine-y piece that I would associate with that. So that leads me to believe that I'm tasting the berry here for sure. The dryness, it's dry, but I don't find it to be exceptionally dry. Like I don't have that real kind of smacky feeling at the end of a sip.
I feel like some of the dryness isn't so much that there isn't residual sweetness left in. I feel like it's a yeast flavor a little bit, that kind of dry kind of yeast flavor you get sometimes in beers, and I feel like that's kind of where it's coming from, as opposed to this thing getting down to one Play-Doh or something like that, you know, on the gravity sort of thing. So I don't know. Maybe they tell us. Let's look at the bottle.
Yeah,
I tell you exactly where you're at. But
that makes a lot of sense, Keith, because I'm wondering if I got the end of the bottle, because I'm looking at your glasses and they are much clearer, much redder than mine. And
well, yeah, I definitely got the first pour, so I'm not sure. But I kind of went back and forth on the two, both of y'all's glasses when I was pouring them. So
I feel like mine's pretty clear, but yours does seem a little cloudier from across the table.
Yeah, but yeah, that would I
can't remember a Braggot really impressing me all that much or offending me all that much, but the few that I've had, I don't really, you know, remember them standing out, but I kind of like this. I would definitely consider picking up another one of these, especially for the right company, you know, someone you know who's, you know, we say this all the time, maybe isn't a super into beer or likes, you know, some kind of more sweeter cocktail like drinks. I think that this would be a fun thing to offer them.
I 100% agree. I think this would be a great, not like a beer introductory drink, but someone who does like wines or likes meads or isn't necessarily a beer person.
Yeah.
This would be a really nice option. I think that this would be something that would be hard to pair. I mean, they mentioned their kind of pairing suggestions there, and it was pretty limited.
Like a hard salty cheese, I could see this going with like a Parmesan or something like that. So I definitely get that, but I couldn't see this with like a brie or something like soft and creamy in that way. Something salty to cut kind of that sweet tart fruit, I think would work really well. I'm not really much of a beer food pairer, but that's like the only that kind of stood out to me when thinking about them suggesting cheese. I wouldn't say all cheeses, like kind of hard and salty. So
yeah, that's good because it's pretty specific, and I do think that would introduce something interesting with this flavor wise for sure. I think we should mention that we're also drinking this after just raising a barn.
Yeah.
Hey now.
We just spent the last couple of hours moving wood and putting said wood into basic house shape.
Yep, there you go.
Studio shape.
So as a after work drink, it's an interesting choice, but there has been a couple of bottles of water in between, and now we've sort of cooled down a little bit.
Yeah.
But for an 11.5 basically percent beer, I think this drinks relatively light and not insanely boozy, and is refreshing, certainly isn't the word I'd use, but it's not what you would normally expect. It's not that big, heavy, boozy, cloying, type thing that you expect out of a big beer.
I like it, and I do feel like it's one that maybe is better had at the end of an evening, maybe as a nightcap or with a dessert. I mean, some sort of when I'm not covered in dirt and sweat. It feels a little bit off right now because I do really enjoy it. I think this is very good, but I don't think I'm in the opportune area to enjoy it because, I mean, Rogue prices pretty aggressively. I feel like their prices are on the low end for some of their larger format stuff, depending on what's in it. I feel like they like Stone, try to get their stuff at a sweet spot price-wise. I don't know what this retails for, but with the ABV and with kind of the presentation factor of it, it feels like a really nice gift beer, a really nice end of the night kind of nightcapper. I think there are a lot of opportunities for this to really kind of go, ooh, like a cheesecake, just like a really plain cheesecake with this would be really
just
good.
Just regular New York
style.
Says
the guy who's not eating dairy right now.
He's like, or maybe cheese dip.
Or just maybe fried chicken.
Or lots of cheese and milk.
So many opportunities for this. I want to play a game. We haven't played a game in a little bit, so I think we should do that.
Going back in time, Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
I I kind of feel like I'm talking like that guy today. I'm like, let's do this. I'm so tired. Let's make it happen, you guys. All right. This is the time on our mini episode. We turn to Keith's spreadsheet. Keith has at least 10, 12 beers on this spreadsheet.
Yeah, maybe 14.
Maybe a couple thousand beers in the spreadsheet that he has logged reviews of. I will read a review from the spreadsheet and see if Raymond can guess it. Raymond, are you ready?
I guess so.
We've established the fact that there are only two braggots, and I've already named them both in the spreadsheet. It is not a braggot.
I was going to go, I was like, was Raymond paying attention?
Wait, or is he
like,
Queen, no, which by one, Sam Adams.
All right, here we go. This is an American Strong Ale. I'm going to give you the classification right out of the gate. Brewed with peat smoked malt, maple syrup, and vanilla, then aged in oak vats. 11% ABV. This is one of those beers that I liked but didn't quite love the first time I had it. My notes from about 3 years ago follow. The peat smoked barley is evident from the first sip. Subtle sweetness from the maple syrup and vanilla comes out as it warms, leading to an intense oak-aged finish. This paired quite well with the honey-drizzled goat cheese fritters! Exclamation point. I did pick up a bottle last year to sit on for a while out of curiosity, but thanks to our friend Paul at Your Pie, I have a pre-aged 2012 vintage bottle to review now. The aroma, the appearance is cloudy, reddish-brown, good head to start, but it quickly dissipates. The aroma has a strong peat to it, not unlike a good scotch. Still getting a lot of smoked peat malt to start. I love a good scotch with a lot of peat, but it is surprisingly a bit of a turnoff in this beer for me. The maple syrup and vanilla is exploding, though. No warm-up necessary. The big sweetness is making for an interesting balance of flavors with the peat smoked malt. As the beer warms, a nice raisin fig-like flavor emerges. A more subtle and sweeter flavor with some age on it. I think this will hold on to that 2014 bottle. I don't know when it's written. For several more years. I'm curious to see if that peat will ever fade. Thanks again to Paul for this unexpected housewarming gift. 3 out of 5 B+.
I know it is.
You do know this
I do know
there that. Was enough personal information.
There was enough personal information in there. And I mean, I remember having the beer at, I mean, I could tell you where I had the fritters or the goat cheese drizzled and yada, yada.
I figured you could.
But
you're not playing this game.
I am not playing this game. So,
all right. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's by Rogue. Okay. Is that the right brewery?
Look, there's a huge hint in this one. Huge. It was a gift from Paul at Europie.
What brewery is Paul's
like favorite brewery, or at least traditionally?
Dogfish Head.
Okay. Correct. So, and I felt like since we were doing a braggot, that perhaps we should look to a certain line that Dogfish Head does.
Okay. Strong ale. I don't know.
This is where I need to put in the Jeopardy music, right?
Yeah, we need some background filler.
Silence. I need you to talk through it. I need you to talk while you think.
All right, while you think.
So are we talking the ancient ales?
Yes, we are.
Series here?
Yes,
okay,
we are.
Okay, so that narrows it down a little bit. So we're talking medieval. Because it's old ale, so it's going to be European. So
not necessarily. Do we need to talk about Vasir?
Yeah,
the Egyptian beers, and you're just looking at me now. All right. So the keys here. All right. We know it's Dogfish Head.
Yes.
We know it's ancient ales.
Yes.
It's an American strong. The peat smoked malt. That's the one that for me makes this one very different. Than, you know, when you're looking for characteristics. And I think that for Keith, too, that's something he comes back to because it's a pretty signature piece, that scotch-like flavor.
Yeah, it was definitely very smoky and peaty.
And the other piece I feel like that kind of ties into this beer a little bit is that, you know, your dark fruit flavor. Yeah. You know, it's not everything, but it's a part of it. It's a play on words. It's like one word, they separate it into two words. The second word is ale. Someone who lives forever is an ale.
lives in M.O. It's Immordale.
There you go. We did it. I'm going to give you points for that. Where's my bell? Ding, 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 ding.
I don't know where the bell is.
I thought that, I always thought that was I'm Mort.
I'm Mort. Ale? Yeah. Oh, well. We did it, you guys. We raised a barn and we drank a beer. And we somehow found, we drank a Braggot. I don't know that calling this beer makes, I mean, because if we're going to our German purity laws, is there any mention of hops?
Yes. There's Farm Rebel Hops is the only hops that I can see here. They said there's some amount of flaked rye in this, which is a, as I was drinking, it was warming up. I was kind of getting a little bit of a spicy character. So 100%. I think some of that has come out, but that was the only hop is Rebel, which I assume is an all-purpose sort of bittering flavoring. I'm sure they had at least a couple of additions with just that hop. So,
I really think with this is one that you open, you pour, you take a couple sips on, and then you do something else, and you kind of come back to you. Yeah. Maybe you record a podcast. I don't know.
Maybe.
But as the
kind of a good table beer, you put it down on the table, let people sample a little bit as they want, and then you don't need a ton of it. But if you're having a good conversation at the table, you're not going to really probably run through a bunch of it immediately,
because it's so similar to me to certain styles of wine, mm-hmm. or to even a winter warmer in a way. It's something that you really sip. It's something that you savor. Yep. You put it back down. I mean, not flavor wise or consistency, but in the way that you would drink it. And it's something it changes with time.
Yeah, I'm starting to get like the heat of the alcohol starting to, as the beer's warming. 100%. It's definitely starting to pop up. So I'm
about to open up this water and start drinking that. Because I probably need to rehydrate. Well, this was a really nice pickup. Thanks to Rogue
for
sending this and letting us talk about it.
And thanks to you guys for doing the barn raising.
Oh, you're welcome, Raymond.
You know,
you get the third wall, the fourth wall, and everything else. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, it's three walls up, you guys. A strong wind's going to come later tonight. It's going to be down. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Twitter at brewdrinkrun or on Facebook at facebook.com/brewdrinkrun. We're all on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You could also call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, and hear your voice on the show. What could be better? We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts on our website. You need to buy some of those. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at the next Amish barn raising. Cheers.
Cheers.
Wow. That was a loud one.
Oh.
Excellent. You know, I said Christmas very early. No one even made a joke. Not a single person.
Well, and he said something about rowing wood, too.
So what did I miss? So, all right, number one, we never talked about Mayor Marion Barry.
Yeah, so I mean, in this case, it's a prickless Marion Barry. So,
it really says that?
Yes. That's,
it does say that.
That's exactly what it says, right on
and
the
he,
bottle.
He even
and,
said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I said it earlier.
Well, I was like trying to, I'm not using my computer. I'm like looking for where things are here. I did have Marion Barry's Wikipedia page pulled up. Because, number one, his middle name is Shapilov.
Okay.
Which sounds, I never would have.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. This as a side with a nice piece of fish.
With the side of Shapilov.
The Washington Post once said that to understand the District of Columbia, one must understand Marion Barry. I'm not sure who that's a slight towards. Mayor for life. Transformed into international notoriety in 1990. 1990.
What? That was back then.
Seems really early for me to know who Marion Barry is solely because he was videotaped smoking crack cocaine.
That was pre-cell phone. That's like videotaped.
Yeah, that was.
It was an FBI.
Yeah, someone had an awkward like something in there, like clock or something that the camera in it and pointed at the right place.
Yeah. R.I.P. Marion Barry. You got a berry named after you, or did the berry come first? Oh, that's research. I should stop this now.